Podcast, episode number 41 from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Welcome to the BenGreenfieldFitness.com podcast, your free weekly audio exposure to cutting edge fitness, nutrition, and wellness information. My name is Ben Greenfield, and I'm an exercise physiologist, certified personal trainer, and nutritionist. Each week, I'll be bringing you information that goes outside run-of-the-mill exercise and diet advice. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to lose a few pounds, enjoy this week's podcast episode from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Hey, podcast listeners. I don't know what happened this week. Maybe it was a change of weather or all the listeners to my show went crazy with the weird rock and techno music that I play in the background, or something just snapped because my mailbag is chock full of questions. And today is going to be spent addressing some of those questions, and I love it because there's some really interesting ones. We're going to talk about the best type of cooking oils, and I'm going to provide you with some interesting advice that you probably didn't know about fats and cooking oils. Real practical advice on what to do if you're trying to lose weight and your spouse doesn't eat healthy. How to gain weight without gaining fat. That was an interesting question. A way to increase your daily caloric intake if your energy levels are low and you just want to experiment and see if you are getting enough calories. Then we're going to also touch on food combination diets. But before we get on to any of that, let's go ahead and go over this week's special announcements. And by the way, next week this podcast is going to change quite a bit. Both our format is going to change, as well as some of the ways that we lay out the content. So you might want to really enjoy this podcast because it'll be the last time you listen to it in this format. On the bright side, it's only going to get better. Special announcements. Okay, let's get this one out of the way because it's coming up quick. Actually, both of these are coming up quick. First of all, I've put a special video on the show notes to this week's podcast episode. You're going to want to click in and watch that video because it lays out exactly what is going on this Sunday, April 26th at 6 p.m. You're not going to want to miss it because it's going to be a live online internet Q&A and exercise session with me where I'm going to be demonstrating quite a bit via video. These are always fun and jam-packed with practical advice. And on April 24th, that's coming up in just 48 hours this Friday, I'll be giving a talk in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho on holistic fueling for Ironman triathletes and how not to destroy your body when you're fueling with 5,000 calories a day for Ironman triathlon. Now, in addition, if you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com and you click on nutrition, there is an article that I recently wrote there that talks about nutrition supplements that I endorse and that I personally use. And after putting that article together, I decided that some people may actually want to just try all of these supplements, implement them into their lifestyle, and enjoy the results that come when your body has all the nutrients, the vitamins, and the minerals that it needs, and then it has a lot of other superfoods thrown in on top of that. So what I've done is I've arranged for, if you want just a big box with each of the top 7 supplements that I recommend to arrive at your doorstep, you basically just go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com, click on nutrition, and I've set it up for you to get an instant 25% discount on everything, as well as free shipping on everything. And it's basically 7 of the top supplements that if you were to implement right now, today, if your goal is decreasing chronic fatigue, burning fat quickly or increasing your performance, you would definitely break through any type of plateau that you're on. So check that out at bengreenfieldfitness.com/nutrition. That's a 25% discount that I set up and free shipping. And I'm not going to leave that up for too long. It's probably just going to stay up for another 2 weeks or so because I can't offer that special indefinitely. While we're on the topic of specials, you know, before I even posted that, about 48 hours before I posted it, I sent out a letter to the people who are subscribed to the BenGreenfieldFitness.com newsletter, and I let them all know about that. And that's pretty typical for me to release stuff like that early to the people who are subscribed to the newsletter. And it's free to subscribe. You just go to the website and you put in your name and email address. I don't share it with anybody. I don't sell it to anybody. But that kind of gets you in on the loop a little bit earlier. The reason I mention that is because next week I am going to be announcing a very cool challenge that we're going to be running from BenGreenfieldFitness.com over the course of the summer. And it's going to be limited to a certain number of participants. There are going to be a ton of freebies and giveaways in this challenge. My sponsors have been really cool and hooked us up with a ton of stuff. But the people who are subscribed to the newsletter are going to find out about it 48 hours before everyone else, including the podcast listeners. So if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, make sure that you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com and subscribe. If you are subscribed to the newsletter and you're not getting these emails that I'm talking about, make sure you check your junk mail folder or your spam folder, because a lot of times when stuff goes out en masse to a large number of people, sometimes it can get filtered as spam or as junk mail. So just a couple other announcements. I wanted to give a shout out and a congratulations. I know last week I congratulated Farah for her 17-pound fat loss. That's one of my clients down in what's the name of that city? San Francisco. Yeah, that's not a hard one to remember. Who has, after being at a complete weight loss plateau, lost 17 pounds so far since we started. Well, another congratulations to Margie, another lady that I'm coaching, because she has gone through 14 pounds and 6% body fat since she started in January. Just got done powering through a 10K race on her way to prepping for the Seattle Rock and Roll Half Marathon. And if you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/help, you can read her story, you can watch her videos, listen into the phone calls that I have with her, and you can get a bunch of free nutrition and fitness training advice harvested from what I've put into her program. So check that out. And then finally, remember that there is a triathlon, an Ironman triathlon camp, Saturday, May 9th through Thursday, May 14th. I'm going to be coaching at that camp, as well as several other highly qualified guys from Canada. This is great prep for you Ironman triathletes out there, and even half Ironman triathletes are going to get a lot of benefit out of this one. So make sure to sign up for that. I've got the link on the show notes of this podcast. And I know I said that was going to be the last announcement, but as I was announcing that, I remembered one other thing. We've talked quite a bit about hormone and food allergy testing on this podcast. We've talked a little bit about tissue mineral analysis and identification of nutritional deficiencies. We've also talked about hormone testing. I have found a way for you to actually get a lot of this stuff done from the comfort of your own home via kits that are sent to you. And when I announced that last week in the podcast, a lot of people emailed me and wanted to know who offered this, where they could get it. I basically got in touch with the company and I arranged for anybody to get a 5% discount on any of these tests. The details of the tests I didn't put in the show notes of the podcast because there is quite a bit of detail in terms of what they go into. But the basic idea is that there's three different tests. There's a food allergy, parasite, yeast, and fungus test. That's actually a stool sample kit that's sent to you that you basically do in the comfort of your own home. There is a tissue mineral analysis that looks at 30 major minerals and 6 potentially toxic metals in your body. And then finally, there's a salivary hormone test that looks at things like testosterone and cortisol ratios in your body. These are offered by a company called Unikey Health Systems, and I put their number, their toll-free number, in the show notes to this podcast. And they're also offering a 5% discount on any of these tests. And you do receive quite a bit in terms of recommendations and personalized letters from them after the test to help you interpret the results. So their show notes are, or their numbers in the show notes of this podcast. And to get that 5% discount, they said all people have to do is just reference my name, Ben Greenfield, or reference the show, Ben Greenfield Fitness, and you can automatically get a discount on any of those tests. So those are the announcements this week from Ben Greenfield Fitness. So most importantly, if you want to get in front of the line for the special announcement for next week and some of the special discounts and freebies I'm going to be sending out, subscribe to the newsletter at bengreenfieldfitness.com and you will be set. Listener Q&A. Remember, if you have a question for the listener Q&A, you can email me, ben@bengreenfieldfitness.com. You can Skype me if you have the free Skype video and audio conferencing software, which I think is awesome. It lets me call anybody in the country for free. My username is PacificFit. Or you can call toll-free. We have a toll-free number set up for your questions. That's 1-877-209-9439. Our first question this week comes from listener James, who asks, just wondering about healthy oils. If you cook or heat oils such as olive oil, canola oil, flaxseed oil, does this spoil their healthy attributes? So basically, when you're looking at whether or not oils are going to be, say, unhealthy, or in other words, kind of degrade and become unstable at high temperatures, you want to look at the general stability of the oil or the stability of the fat. And I think most of you out there have probably heard of monounsaturated fats, polyunsaturated fats, and then saturated fats. And the whole idea behind that is that mono, which refers to one, that means that there's only one unsaturated point on that fat molecule. And by unsaturated, what that means is that's a point that doesn't have a hydrogen attached to it. And then polyunsaturated fats have more than one place that don't have a hydrogen attached. And then saturated fats are basically, they don't have any open points. They're completely saturated with hydrogen. Well, the idea that a monounsaturated healthy fat is going to become unstable and basically produce free radicals at high temperatures is not necessarily true, especially when compared to polyunsaturated fats. Now, it is true that when you excessively heat something like an olive oil or say like a grapeseed oil or flaxseed oil or any of these healthier monounsaturated oils, what does happen is you can evaporate a lot of the alcohols and a lot of the esters that are inside that oil, and that can basically just destroy the taste, destroy the fragrance. So I don't recommend that you use a highly fragrant or tasty oil like extra virgin olive oil when you're cooking with a monounsaturated oil. But you should be more worried about consuming food that's been cooked in the polyunsaturated oils, because the higher the number of places that are not saturated in oil, the less healthy it is. And a lot of these polyunsaturated oils like soybean oil, cottonseed oil, corn oil, safflower oil, is that they're far more prone to free radical production when they're exposed to heat or when they're exposed to light. And this free radical production, when you consume it, it can contribute to an inflammatory condition within your body. And this has been associated with things like heart disease, diabetes, or other, you know, what would be considered like chronic degenerative diseases. So by now you're probably scratching your head thinking, well, if polyunsaturated is the most prone to free radical production or to becoming damaging when cooked at higher temperatures, and monounsaturated is less prone to that, but technically, you know, you could get a little bit of that with monounsaturated oils, then saturated oils must not have much production of free radicals at all. And this is true. Saturated fats, saturated oils, things like palm oil, coconut oil, or yes, butter are some of the healthiest oils to cook with because they're more stable and they're less inflammatory than the polyunsaturated oils. So what I recommend that you have around your house is you've basically got your monounsaturated oils, like your olive oil, that you would use for your salads or for some light low heat cooking vegetables, stir fry, things of that nature. But then higher fat cooking, for instance, searing meats, things of that nature, you should actually have butter around the house. And I'm also a big fan of coconut oil as well, like an extra virgin coconut oil, for cooking. And saturated fats are actually good for you in moderation. They have a very high number of what are called medium chain triglycerides, and those are actually lacking in a lot of people's diets, and they're a great source of energy for your body. They help to keep your appetite satiated. There have even been studies that suggest that they may help improve the metabolism. And lauric acid, one of the components of the saturated fats, has actually been suggested to help the immune system. So there's quite a few benefits to the consumption of saturated fats. It just needs to be in moderation because it is true that they are very calorically dense. So in my house, we keep it pretty simple. We have usually like a grapeseed oil or an extra virgin olive oil that we use for cooking. I personally, supplement with an omega-3 flaxseed oil, and then we also have butter that we'll use for some high temperature cooking. Now, the next question comes from listener Mindy, who asks, I read somewhere through your website about combination of foods to get the best digestion. Mindy's probably asking about the library of articles we have over at pacificfit.net. A lot of articles I wrote over the past 4 years are on there. And what she refers to is either eating fruit by itself or eating mostly carb or mostly protein meals. She says, so my questions are, your Shape 21 book doesn't seem to follow these guidelines, so what is the best way? I personally am finding it difficult to follow and understand the 7 to 8 guidelines that you listed, and would love for you to talk more about it and give examples of combinations of foods that do work. Well, Mindy, the whole idea behind food combining is that eating certain foods and certain combinations can allow you to more fully digest those foods. And so, for example, when you eat a carbohydrate, that takes a certain type of enzyme to allow it to digest. And when you eat a protein, that takes a certain type of enzyme to help it digest. And it's possible that some of these enzymes might interfere with each other if they're released at the same time, like if you eat a lot of proteins and carbohydrates both at the same time. And then food that's not digested because of the interference of these enzymes could sit in your GI tract or sit in your system and cause things like weight gain or constipation, indigestion, gas, bloating, fatigue, things of that nature. So there's a lot of different food combining diets out there that basically lay out a bunch of rules about different foods that should or should not be eaten together to allow you to not get that basically bickering or that infighting between the enzymes in your stomach. Well, I wrote that article, I think that was about 3 or 4 years ago when I wrote that article, and it was more of a review of the food combination diet, more than necessarily being a my endorsement of actually having that diet as part of your lifestyle. But after I wrote the article, I did have some people actually try out some of the guidelines that I'd written out or go find more out about food combining, and they found that it did help them to digest their foods just a little bit easier. Now, there's no scientific evidence to suggest that I'm aware of that a food combining diet is, for example, going to help you lose weight or going to completely take away indigestion or bloating. But if you want to think of it in very simplistic terms, the least complex environment from a chemical perspective that you put into your stomach, the more streamlined the digestive process might be. So, yeah, for example, if I were to eat a bowl of oatmeal in the morning rather than doing what I actually do and eat a bowl of oatmeal with a little bit of egg and yogurt and almond butter and some banana, I might be able to digest that oatmeal just a little bit quicker. And in someone who may have a sensitive stomach, you know, they might not get that indigestion or bloating that they get with meals. But the problem with food combining diets is that there are a ton of rules that you actually have to follow, and so it might not actually work for everyone. But it could give a substantial number of people who have, you know, gastric intolerance, digestive problems, you know, bloating, gas, things of that nature, a way to just use themselves as a case study and see if following some food combining rules actually help them out at all. So rather than go over all of the different rules in this podcast, what I want to do is give you a resource that you can turn to that's a nice little food combining chart that lays it out pretty well in an understandable format. There's a lot of these charts on the internet, and some of them go into greater details than others, but I'm putting a link after your question, the show notes of this podcast, to a chart that is one that you can print and hang on your refrigerator, and it's basically a picture of each different type of food group, from proteins to starches to vegetables to fruits. And so to just give you a few examples so the listeners can visualize this in their heads, you know, it says proteins combined with salads, do not use with sugar and starches, or starches combined with salads, do not use with proteins and fruits, or melons, best eaten alone, vegetables combine well with most foods, sweet fruits best combined with celery and lettuce, acid fruits and sub-acid fruits are compared, and you're told which vegetables go best with sub-acid fruits, which vegetables goes best with acid fruits. And then there's kind of a detailed list that really kind of introduces you to food combining. If it's something that you want to try out, if you struggle with indigestion, etc., you can check it out. I'll put a link to the PDF in the show notes to the podcast right after your question. And hopefully that'll help you understand food combining a little bit more. And you can print it out, hang it on your refrigerator, and good luck memorizing all the rules. It can be a little bit tough with food combining. Our next question is a call-in question from listener Monica.
I'm trying to lose some weight and eat healthy and everything, but my husband has no trouble losing weight, and his metabolism is so high, he pretty much eats anything he wants. So my problem is that I try to make dinner, but I can't make dinners that are different for the two of us because I don't have time. If you have any suggestions to help me out with this, that would be awesome. Thanks.
I actually run into this quite a bit with my clients who are trying to change their lifestyles but don't have supportive family lives at home. I have developed some meals and some techniques that actually help you out a little bit when you're trying to make a meal that you could say make for your husband that would be tasty and full of calories and, you know, have that heart-stopping nutritional tastiness to it while still allowing yourself to shed a few pounds. So here are some examples. The first is hamburgers. And even though it's not way more healthy than ground beef, I think sometimes it's blown out of proportion how much healthier it is than ground beef, you can use ground turkey instead of hamburger. And basically, you take yours and you just top it with grilled onions, tomato, ketchup, mustard, and, you know, maybe a slice of fat-free cheese. And for him, you would maybe try and push him in the right direction by giving him like a whole wheat English muffin to eat his hamburger on, rather than a regular bun. But you basically eat yours with no bun, or you slap it between two large pieces of lettuce. You can serve this with corn, especially as we're getting into the summertime. He can slather his with a wedge of cheese or some butter, and you can simply lightly salt yours. You can also squeeze some lemon on there. That goes pretty well. And if you want to do dessert with this one, actually fresh cherries are pretty good with the hamburgers and the corn. They mix together well. Pizza, even if you order pizza or you make it at home, basically you eat only one slice, but you pile a large salad on top of that pizza. He can eat however much pizza he wants, but basically you take one pizza, you eat it with a fork and knife, and you put a salad on top of it. And pizza is actually pretty good with something like the mixed greens from even a place like Costco, like the big box of mixed greens. You can take a handful of that, throw it on top of the pizza. A little bit of olive oil and vinaigrette can go well with that as well, but it'll fill up your stomach, that extra fiber, and keep you from eating too much pizza. Chicken or shrimp stir fry with brown rice. The way this works is you can get the bag of the frozen stir fry or use fresh vegetables and you saute that with chicken or shrimp and you eat with just a little bit of teriyaki sauce and a little bit of brown white rice or wild rice. You bring the teriyaki sauce out to the table and you let him throw as much of that as he wants on there. You can also stir fry some extra chicken or some extra shrimp on the side. Let him again use as much of that as he wants and that way you're still getting just healthy vegetables with a little bit of lean meat and he can add as much flavor as he'd like. You can also, if he's not into brown rice or the wild rice, you can cook up like some white rice or some yakisoba noodles for him. And remember, the whole idea here is that, you know, I realize this is encouraging your spouse to eat healthy, but it is just enabling you, putting you in a situation where you can at least cope at home. A taco or a burrito night works pretty well where you take out all sorts of meat, beans, rice, variations of cheese or sour cream or veggies. You can add some whole wheat tortillas or some taco shells as opposed to like the white tortillas or taco shells. And he's basically free to pick whatever he wants and pile it on as many shells or wraps as he wants. But you can just do a bed of lettuce with a little bit of meat, some veggies, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of salsa, some tomatoes, and then just use a yogurt instead of a sour cream. So you're having a very healthy, lean taco salad, and he's having tacos. Seasoned chicken breasts. Basically, you just salt and pepper chicken breasts, a little bit of light seasoning to your flavor, and you put it over a bed of brown rice and some vegetables. But for your husband, you can add a nice, creamy, calorie-filled, tasty cream of mushroom soup topping. You simply heat cream of mushroom soup on the side and it tastes pretty good over chicken. Whole grain spaghetti with tomato sauce. Basically, you use whole wheat or gluten-free pasta and you serve that similar to the pizza, just a little portion with some sauce and then your salad served over the top. You eat it with a fork and knife and you bring out a bunch of Parmesan cheese, the sauce, the meatballs if you have them. And your husband can go to town on the spaghetti. Well, you have basically a small amount of spaghetti with a little bit of salad served over it. And then the last thing that works pretty well, if you want to try and just start to push him in the right direction, is just start to make it a habit with every dinner to serve just a little salad on the side with dinner. Even if your main course is a salad, you know, for him, just a little bit of salad on the side, just to start to push him towards the vegetables. But those are some ideas of foods and dinners that you can do that still enable you to eat healthy. And your husband to have that big, huge, calorie-filled, tasty meal that he wants. So the next question comes from listener Charles, and this is kind of a long one, but he says, for a long time now, I've been battling an eating disorder, anorexia, and overexercise. I've been through a lot of treatment in the past, and I'm currently still meeting with my support team. Things are going well. I may not look too underweight, but I'm not the weight the doctors would like me to be. My body fat's around 3%. I'm currently at 147 pounds. My goal is to get up to 165 pounds. The nutritionists and doctors have set a goal weight for me of about 172 pounds since I'm just about 6 feet tall. I was wondering if you had any advice on what type of program I could do to help me gain healthy weight, not fat, and still maintain the level of conditioning I have now. Meaning not to get slower, as well as to build more muscle to improve my bike and swim. I'm afraid if I gain weight, it will just all be fat and hurt my performance. I have been told that once I fuel my body correctly, I will see a lot of improvement. Great question, Charles. And yeah, it is true that what your nutritionist and your doctors are telling you, just from a performance standpoint, if we leave out basic health, is if you don't have enough power or enough force or enough muscle in any sport, it's going to hurt you a bit. And even in an endurance sport like triathlon or like cycling or like running, you can weigh too little. Because when you weigh too little, what happens is your body essentially begins cannibalizing itself. You lose the ability to produce a muscular contraction, the ability to produce force, and that's pretty deleterious to performance. But yeah, it is tough to actually put on weight, to pile on weight, and have it not be fat. And this is why bodybuilders, traditionally, kind of old school style bodybuilders, people have gotten smarter since, you know, the days of the 70s and 80s bodybuilding. in terms of nutrition, but they would basically have cycles where they just put on a whole bunch of fat, as much weight as they could, and then they tone it up and lean it up, and they just basically go through that cycle, which is not healthy for the body. The body should be able to put on weight, but not have the weight that it puts on be purely fat or mostly fat. And so what I do with my clients who actually need to gain muscle but who don't want to have themselves become unhealthy in the process is we do what's called nutrition periodization. What this means is that you take a typical training week and you lay out a nutrition program that puts your body in a state where it can gain weight, but have that weight not be fat-related weights because it's based on your training, on your actual exercise. So the way that you do this is you take your hardest exercise day of the week, and this would, for example, be a day where you're going to go for your long bike ride and your run and maybe a swim beforehand. For triathletes, it might be anywhere from a 3 up to a 5 or a 6 hour workout. And this is your refeeding day, meaning this is the day that you get your cheat foods, that you eat quite a few calories, that you eat well over and above your resting metabolic rate or the total number of calories that you're burning during the day. It's literally a large, large calorie intake day. Now, what happens is that the large amount of exercise that you're doing on that day really keeps you fairly insulin sensitive and keeps a lot of those extra calories that you're piling in from getting converted to fat. And it's also very effective from a recovery standpoint because the high number of calories on the difficult training day can keep you from depleting your body's storage carbohydrate or muscle glycogen levels. So you have this one refeeding day of the week. Now, in addition, you want to take every single exercise session the rest of the week and make sure that for about 2 hours prior to that exercise session, during the exercise session, and for about a 1 hour window after, those are the only times where you focus on weight gain. Okay, so the rest of the day, apart from that exercise session, you're not focused on eating as many calories as you can to put on muscle because what's going to happen is when you're in a rested state or outside of exercise, your body is going to have a little bit harder time assimilating those nutrients for energy or for muscle building. So you take your workout during the day, and basically you've got that window pre, during, and post the workout where you're going to overfuel. And as far as how much overfueling you would need to be doing, you're generally going to need to be overfueling by at least 500 calories a day to start to pile on muscle. You just need to make sure that the calories that you're putting in are coming at the same time as, or just before, or just after you're exercising, and then you have that giant refeeding day as well. That'll allow you to successfully put on muscle, assuming that you're exercising, and not have to worry so much about fat. Now, I don't know if you're doing a weightlifting or resistance training program right now, but I would highly encourage you to add that in as well because it can help you to put on a little bit of extra weight and again have that weight be force producing muscle. I have one resource that's out there on the web for triathletes who wants to lift weights or resistance train. It's called thestrongtriathlete.com. And if you visit thestrongtriathlete.com, there are some weightlifting routines on there that you can implement into your program. Now, the final question today comes from one of the triathletes that I coach online. And what she asks is, or she wrote me an email. I wanted to include it in this podcast because I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are triathletes or cyclists, and they probably experience this as well. She says, "I just wanted to let you know my bike ride last week was great, but I had quite a feeling of hunger about 3.5 or 4 hours into the ride where I felt almost as if I was getting faint. I took in one more goo, and that helped a little. There was no bloating, which was good, but that empty feeling made me feel weird. Also, I've generally been very hungry lately, and I'm still taking my supplements. Thoughts?" Now, what I told her was, first of all, we increase the caloric intake It was by about 50 to 75 calories an hour. We had based her caloric intake off of the fact that she'd come into my lab, done a metabolic test. We were going out off about 40% of the total number of calories that she was burning. But that obviously wasn't enough for her as she got a little bit farther into the ride. And so generally, I'll increase that in about 50 to 75 calorie increments until we find that magic window. So that was pretty easy to do. But as far as the general feeling of hunger, there are some tricks that I use to actually just easily get a little bit of extra calories into the body. I have two foods that are my two favorite foods for increasing caloric intake from a healthy perspective. One is almond butter and one is quinoa. Now, almond butter is very appetite satiating. It's quick, it's convenient, it doesn't take much to increase the number of calories that you take in. And so if I'm struggling with, waking up at night because I'm so hungry, or really struggling with energy levels during workouts, I'll add in about a tablespoon of almond butter at some point during the day, typically in the morning or in the early afternoon. The other thing that I'll add in is something called quinoa, and it's one of the more complete whole grains on the planet. It's basically a whole grain that's very, very high in protein. Again, allows you to add calories without bringing in a huge amount of additional carbohydrate. And I'll throw in just about anywhere from 200 to 300 calories of quinoa with either lunch or dinner to just give me a little bit extra energy levels. And so that's what we did with her, was we introduced a little bit of almond butter, a little bit of quinoa, just to satisfy her body's craving for a bit more energy during her longer training days. And those are this week's questions. Now, normally I would have an interview at this point in the podcast, but based off of the number of questions that I received this week, I decided not to do the interview. However, I have an upcoming interview with a natural sports nutrition doctor. He's an established doctor down in California, and we're going to be interviewing him about human performance, both for athletes and for people who are just working out, who are exercising. He's an expert on bioidentical testosterone and urine testing for hormones. He knows quite a bit about sports-related arthritis, sports nutrition, wellness. He's an expert on fat loss, especially in regards to taking a supplement called HCG for fat loss. And he'll be talking more about that, as well as how thyroid levels affect the body. So this will be a really fantastic interview. His name is Dr. Roby Mitchell, aka Dr. Fit, and we'll be interviewing him and featuring him on this podcast next week. So listen into that. And remember, subscribe to the newsletter. There's some very cool stuff coming out next week. Whoever is subscribed to the newsletter is going to get it about 48 hours before everyone else. So the podcast format will also change next week. Look forward to that. And until next time, this is Ben Greenfield signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.